Blog Talk Radio.
What a moment you have brought me through. Such a freedom I have found in you. You are the healer who makes all things new. Hallelujah. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed this morning to be with you as we move forward through the Word of God. And all I can say is, it is a great word this morning. It is a great word. When we talk about, you've heard me say many times that what God has for you is for you, and your blessings or your gifts or your calling are irrevocable. Well, today in our word, you're going to find out where it comes from. It's in the book of Romans, and it will be one of our scriptures, and it is the title of our lesson this morning. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They're irrevocable. So many times, you know, we want to not utilize the gifts that God has given us. But understand that what God has for you is for you. You know, nobody can take away. Nobody can diminish it. Nobody can take your calling or your gifts. They're from God, and they are irrevocable, and they are just for you. I can't do what Sister Susie can do. But Sister Susie can't take what is not hers and what has not been given to her by God. So we have to work the gifts that God has given us. If you are a person that likes to talk, like some people I know, I think that might be me, you're quiet. And that can be you too. You know, there are times where I just don't want to be bothered with talking. I just want to listen. I don't want to say anything. I just want to listen. You know, and I like classes. I like taking classes. I like learning because it's important to know more than you know. And some things that you learn are just good common sense. Things that you used to do but quit doing there. Are things that you know you should do and haven't done. We all have those. We should do this, or I need to do this, and we'll get it done. But we also, whatever it is that God has for us to do, we should just do it. Get that Nike switch out. Just do it. If God calls you to evangelize, evangelize. If God calls you to sing, sing. If God calls you to speak, speak. Whatever it is, if God calls you to be a child care provider or a caregiver, just do it. And again, we don't have to do things the conventional way. I love the Word of God. And I, in my heart, I feel that we need to get the Word of God out of four walls. You know, I can sit and I can hear you read it on Sunday and I can listen and I can get that message and I can feel good. But I'm in those four walls. I'm in that space where everybody else in there is me. We all are there to get it. But what about the folks that are outside those four walls? That's what this is about. That's what this moving forward experience is about, is getting the Word of God across the airways. So that whoever may need a word from God, all they have to do is hit Blog Talk Radio and say religion. And then they'll find moving forward with Minister Bridget. Because it's a word. Just type in Minister_B_talks_word. @Minister_B_talks_word. On Twitter, and you push a button, and there you have the Word of God. Facebook saying, you know, we have to understand this word is important because this word may be life to somebody. This word may be all that they hear of the word of God. And if this is what you're called to do, to host the show, to read a word of God, this is for, this show is for those that are struggling, those that may not have, maybe visually impaired. This show is for somebody that just needs a word for God in the morning as they're getting ready for work. This show is for whomever just needs a word. So if you know anyone that just needs a word from God, tell them to dial 213-943-3597, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. God willing, we're here Sunday through Friday, the word from God. And the goal of this season is to read the word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. That's my assignment. To read the word of God to the masses in 1 year. So Genesis chapter 1, Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, 1 year. January 1, December 31. That's my assignment. What is yours? Think it through. Ask God to guide you. Lord, show me my gifts. Show me my calling so that I know what I need to do for your kingdom to watch God work in your life. Father God in heaven, we thank you for the gifts and the calling that are irrevocable. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us everything we need. For when you call us, Lord, you have equipped us. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease, as I read your word, your biblical instruction before leaving earth. Lord God, I ask you to guide me and to lead me. Lord, help me to decrease as you increase. And Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer, and I cannot do this in your word. Things that are equivalent to what we're going through today, so that we see that you were the same yesterday. You are the same today, and you will be the same forevermore. For Lord, we are trusting in your word that you will never leave us or forsake us. Father God, we are asking you to lift us up when we're down. Speak for us when we can't speak. See for us when we can't see. Hear for us when we can't hear. And guide us in the mire. For your word says that you are with us. You are with us. That you are our shepherd. And that we shall not want. That you make us to lie down in green pastures, that you lead us beside the still waters, that you, Lord God, restore our soul. Restore us today, Father. Restore us today, Father. In the name of Christ Jesus, I look up, lift up, giving you honor, glory, and praise. And I rebuke and bind any spirit, my voice, my mind, in my speech, I rebuke it and send it back to the pits of hell from whence it came. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, amen. We have to understand that the enemy does not want God's word to go forth. He does not want us to hear the word of God. He does not want us to be knowledgeable of the word of God. He doesn't want us to know where to find different scriptures that will help us. So he will do whatever he can. He will attack your voice. He will attack your mind. He will attack every spot in every way he can. But understand, he can only do it if God allows. And if God is allowing it, it is to test you for your testimony, to help you to do better, to be better, and to be prepared. For we are at war. We're at war against so many things. But understand, it's not flesh and blood we are wrestling against. We are wrestling against a lot of nasty darkness, principalities, false teachings, false prophets. All those things are out there right now, and they're bombarding people where you don't know if to turn to the left or to the right. But we know that we have to look up. We have to look up and get on our knees. We have to push. We have to pray until something happens. But understand that if you pray amiss, God does not hear it. We can't pray selfish prayers. And we can't pray prayers on politics. You know, God is not a Republican and God is not a Democrat. God is omnipotent. Just what it is, foolishness. Don't get caught up in red and blue. Get caught up in God. I don't know who that was for, but whoever it was for, that was for you. Don't get caught up in all this stuff out there. This red politics and blue politics and I'm for this and I'm for that and this is that and this is that. Don't believe all that nonsense. Don't believe big lies. Understand that everything is from God. And if this vaccine is out there, do you not think that it didn't come from God? Why would we not think it came from God? Scientists, God gave us doctors. God gave us engineers. God gave us everything we need. He gave us people to speak, people to preach, people to teach. He gave us all knowledge of some sort to give to each other. So as I read an article this morning, if you can drink a Coca-Cola, or Pepsi, or Mountain Dew, that you don't have a clue what's in. You know, if you start reading that what's in foods, you would like, oh, you would never eat again. Pull it out of the ground yourself. To be honest, that's the best food to eat, is if you pull it out of the ground or pull it off a tree yourself. Speaking of trees, thank you, God, for my pears. My pears are starting to come in, and they look so pretty, and I'm about to pick some pears coming up before my neighbors come and pick them before I get to them. And again, I don't care because I would rather somebody get it than they be wasted. So anyway, keep moving forward, family. So let's get in our work. That's what we're here for, because you know we have to go to work. So we got to get our work done for the Lord first. And this is good. So let's get started. Job chapter 15, verse 16 through chapter 16, verse 22. Now, on yesterday, we know Job was telling the thing. He was preaching a word. He was, you know, letting them know, though he slay me, yet will I trust. You know, he wanted them to know, I don't give a care. Whatever God does, I'm going to trust him. Even if it's to death, I'm trusting God. You know, and then he had to let them know that you would be silent, it would be your wisdom. In other words, y'all need to be quiet. Y'all, you know, hold your peace. You know, Job was sick and tired of being sick and tired of his friends trying to tell him what he did. And, you know, and it goes in another word, verse 4, chapter 14, verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean one? No one. You know, Job did not play. He was sitting there and he was preaching the word. But through the whole thing, the main, even though I'm sick, even though I'm here, he said, I'm going to trust God. And verse 18 says, but as a mountain falls and crumbles away, and as a rock is moved from its place, as water wears away stone, and as torrents wash away the soil of the earth, So you destroy the hope of a man. You prevail forever against him, and he passes on. You change his countenance and send him away. His sons come to honor, and he does not know it. They are brought low, and he does not perceive it. But his flesh will be in pain over it, and his soul will mourn over it. And then Job said, if a man dies, shall he live again? You know, he was asking some questions, but we all know that when we die, of this fleshly body comes out, and it's in the presence of the Lord. Because that's what the word says. Absent from this earthly body, this fleshly thing we carry, this outer garment that we wear, we understand that underneath is our spiritual body, that body that will go to God when we leave this earth, which is why we need this basic instruction before leaving earth, so we know what to expect. So now Job's friends, and I put that friend thing in quotation marks, that was asked him tonight, answers and said, should a wise man answer with empty knowledge and fill himself with east wind? In other words, you're a blowhard. Should he reason with unprofitable talk or by speeches with which he can do no good? Yes, you cast off fear and restrain prayer before God. For your iniquity teaches your mouth, and you choose the tongue of the crafty. Your own mouth condemns you and not I. Yes, your own lips testify against you. Are you the first man who was born, or were you made before the hills? Have you heard the counsel of God? Do you limit wisdom to yourself? What do you know that we do not know? What do you understand that is not in us? Both the gray hair and the age are among us, much older than your father. Are the consolations of God too small for you, and the words spoken gently with you? Why does your heart carry you away, and what do your eyes wink at, that you turn your spirit against God and let such words go out of your mouth? What is a man that he could be pure, and he who is born a woman that he could be righteous? If God puts no trust in his saints, and the heavens are not pure in his sight, how much less man who is abominable and filthy, who drinks iniquity like water? I will tell you, hear me. What I have seen, I will declare. What wise men have told, not hiding anything received from their fathers, to whom alone the land was given, and no alien passed among them. The wicked man withers with pain all his days, and the number of years is getting from the oppressor. Dreadful sounds are in his ears. In prosperity, the destroyer comes upon him. He does not believe that he will return from darkness, for a sword is waiting for him. He wanders about for bread, saying, where is it? He knows that a day of darkness is ready at his hand. Trouble and anguish make him afraid. They overpower him like a king ready for battle. But he stretches out his hand against God and acts defiantly against the Almighty, running stubbornly against him with his strong embossed shield. Though he has covered his face with his fatness and made his waist heavy with fat, he dwells in desolate cities, in houses which no one inhabits, which are destined to become ruins. He will not be rich, nor will his wealth continue, nor will his possessions overspread the earth. He will not depart from darkness. The flame will dry out his branches, and by the breath of his mouth he will go away. Let him not trust in futile things, deceiving himself, for futility will be his reward. It will be accomplished before his time, and his branch will not be green. He will shake off his unripe grape like a vine, and cast off his blossom like an olive tree. For the company of hypocrites will be barren, and fire will consume the tent of bribery. They conceive trouble and bring forth fertility. Their womb prepares the seed. Wow. And this is his friend. Wow. That's all I can say is wow. With a friend like that, who needs an enemy? Who needs an enemy? Joe's friends are talking to him like he's a junkyard dog. Well, you must have seen. So let's keep it here. Now, Joe getting ready to answer him. Because, you know, Joe does not play. Joe is like, I'm going through. I'm here in pain. But yet you got to tell me that I must have done something wrong. That it's all me that did this and it's all me that did that. You know, and he's tired. He's tired of these false friends. You know, we all get tired of false friends. Folks that don't have nothing to say but negativity. They bring you down instead of build you up. Instead of saying, God's got you, they say, well, I don't know. It might have been something that you said. It might have been something that you did. But, you know, they just thought they was all that. Look at what? No, that's not your friend. Talking about you like you are nothing in your face. And this is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. So, you know, you can't go everybody, because everybody does not have your best interest at heart. And this is what Dr. Stanley said. For chapter 15, verse 9, when people start measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise, which is what we just read in 2 Corinthians 10:12. Why? We are all ignorant in ways unknown to us, especially when compared to God. I know nothing. I mean, I'm not even a piece of sand in knowledge to the knowledge of God. I mean, seriously, a speck in the knowledge of God. No, nothing comparatively speaking. But I trust God that what I need, he will give me when I need it. He will never leave me or forsake me because I trust in his word. But you got to know the word to trust in the word. That's why we read the word. Job chapter 16, it says, then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Shall words of wind have an end? Or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's place, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth. And the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not relieved. And if I remain silent, how am I eased? But now he has worn me out. You have made desolate all my company. You have shriveled me up, and it is a witness against me. My leanness rises up against me and bears witness to my face. He tears me in his wrath and hates me. He gnashes at me with his teeth. My adversary sharpens his gaze on me. They gape at me with their mouth. They strike me reproachfully on the cheek. They gather together against me. God has delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over to the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he has shattered me. We go through these things. Folks can make you feel horrible about yourself. Can talk about you, make you think you're crazy. I don't know why she's saying all of that. It must be her. You don't know me. You don't know me. You don't know who you're talking about because you have not walked in their shoes. We don't know each other like that. When someone is going through, they don't need you to tear them down more. They don't need you to call them crazy. To call them, well, it must be your fault. You don't know their story. And until you walk in somebody else's shoes, we need to be quiet and keep our tongues behind our teeth. You don't know their struggle. You don't know their pain. You don't know what anybody else has gone through. But I love how we as men and women, and I'm talking men and women of God, we have a tendency to be some of the most judgmental hypocrites out there. And I'm calling it like it is. We are, and I'm saying we because I've been there myself. Until you know someone's story, keep your tongue behind your teeth because you don't know what they've been through. But I tell you one thing, God does. God does. Because he allowed it to make them stronger, to make them wiser, to make them better, to give them discernment, to give them wisdom, to give them understanding. Everybody that calls themselves our friends may not be. They may not have our best interests at heart. And we have to understand that the only true friend is God. I'm a friend of God because God knows everything about me. He knows my struggle. He knows what I've been through. That's who you can talk to. We got to push, y'all. Pray until something happens. You got to speak to the master listener. You got to speak to God. Because nobody can listen to you like God. Nobody can sweep away all the dirt and the pain but God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for God this day. But this is a day that he has made, and I rejoice and I'm glad in it. And as Job continued to speak, he said, I was at ease, but he has shattered me. He also has taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces. Some of us have felt that way when we're going through. He has set me up for his target. His archers surround me. He pierces my heart and does not pity. He pours out my gall on the ground. He breaks me with wound upon wound. He runs at me like a warrior. I have sewn sackcloth over my skin and laid my head in the dust. My face is flushed from weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Although no violence is in my hands, and my prayer is pure. Oh, earth, do not cover my blood, and let my cry have no resting place. Surely even now my witness is in heaven, and my evidence is on high. My friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleads for his neighbor. For when a few years are finished, I shall go the way of no return. Wow. Wow. I'm sitting here in tears for Job. And this is the word that says that Dr. Stanley, in this life lesson, and I'll have a life question also from Job, and then we'll get into our Psalms and then our New Testament, which is where our word is coming from this morning. And it says, I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief. Our words have the power to tear down and bring grief, while the power to give strength and comfort. Every day, we choose what kind of power we will yield. And God is watching. And Dr. Stanley said, Matthew 12 and 36, and we're going to go over to Matthew 12 and 36. Again, this is still Bible study. So we're going to Matthew 12, and we're going to go to verse 36. And we may read around it because I am a firm believer that everything must be read in context. Because when we do it in context, we know what we're talking about. And Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, we're going to go back to verse 33 because it deals with the tree known by its fruit. And this is what it says. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else mark the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you bring evil? Being evil, speak good things. For out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Whoa. And the word that Dr. Stanley had is this: but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Everything we say, we will give account of it. When we stand before God and God says, now, do you remember when you said such and such and such about woo-woo and boo-booing them down the street? Do you remember when you said such and such about Sister Susie? God's going to throw all of our stuff up in our face, and we're going to have to give an account for it. So the best thing to do is keep your tongue behind your teeth. You know, I say that all the time. But the one thing I can say this, with God, everlasting, and he is great and greatly to be praised. And this is what Dr. Stanley says in for chapter 16, verse 9 of the book of Job. He says, he tears me in his wrath and hates me. When we pray in our anguish and nothing seems to change, and we cry out in our pain and it only increases, we wonder if God has become our enemy. Never. He loved us and always will. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read verses 31 to 39. And it says this: God's everlasting love. I love the Bible to have the little titles in it so you know what you're looking for. But this is God's everlasting love. And I don't know who this is for, but this is for someone today listening. God loves you. And this is what the word of God says. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore so risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And I say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, my Savior, for interceding for me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Come on now. Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors. Say it with me. When you're going through, I am more than a conqueror through him who loves us. We are more than conquerors because we are loved by God. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors because our Savior loved us enough to give his life for us. We are more than conquerors because we believe and trust in God and in our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, Jesus our Lord. And I'm going to read verse 37 and to 39 one more time. Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't worry. Just pray. Hallelujah. God has got us. I'm getting filled up because I know that God has me. I know that God has you. We are more than conquerors because we are loved by him who created us, who is the most heavenly Father. We are saved by gave his life for us on Calvary's cross. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph in his name. Hallelujah. And this is a life question from Dr. Stanley. Does Satan cause all of our adversities? And I'm going to answer that before even Dr. Stanley can answer. The answer is no. No. And Dr. Stanley says the quick answer is no. While the book of Job makes it obvious that the devil can and does afflict us, some of our adversity comes simply because we live in a fallen world. All people, believers and non-believers alike, suffer adversity, not caused by anything we or others have done. In Luke 13:1-5, Jesus declared that victims of two separate local tragedies died not because they had sinned worse than anyone else in Jerusalem, but simply because they were at the wrong place at the wrong time. And I tell you, this home, I broke into tears on yesterday because one of my coworkers, 25 years old, was murdered. 25 years old with a life ahead of her. 25 years old with a beautiful smile and a wonderful spirit. 25 years old who cared for the sick and seniors shut in. 25 years old who was going to school to be a nurse. 5 years old with people who loved and respected her, murdered because she was in the wrong place at the wrong time. We don't understand. You don't have to be old to die. Try life with two others. She was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And as Dr. Stanley says, and that is why we must always be ready to stand before God. Adversity can also come into our lives as a result of personal sin. Each sin we commit carries some consequences. A natural overflow of adversity tailored to the nature of our disobedience. In cases like this, we can't blame God, the devil, others. We must follow David's example and say, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me against you. You only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Psalms 51:3-4. Let's say that I hear a juicy rumor and choose to gossip about it. Then imagine that the news turns out to be completely untrue. The result, no one trusts me anymore. I am rightly seen as a malicious gossip. I have destroyed my public witness. I can't blame anyone else for what happened. It was my own fault. Death and life is in the power of death and life is in the tongue. We need to be careful what we speak and what we say, but we do not always know what I heard. This is what I heard. We need to keep what I heard behind our teeth. Finally, some adversity comes straight from Almighty God. We don't like to think about this one, but let's be clear. God is ultimately concerned with our spiritual growth. He is ultimately concerned about our spiritual growth, our happiness, our monetary pleasures. He always has the big picture in mind whenever he allows our sins adversity into our lives. So David wrote, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Psalms 119:75. Unfortunately, adversity is often the only thing that would get our attention. That's so true. I once heard a fine teacher explain in this way, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speak to us in our conscience, but shouts at us in adversity. If God doesn't get our attention through his blessings or by stringing our conscience, then he will certainly put us flat on our backs in adversity so that we can get the message. We all have gone through. We all have through adversity. Whatever your adversity may be, we are going through it for a purpose and a reason. God is trying to get our attention. And I understand God is definitely trying to get mine in so many ways. And all I can say is I'm listening, God. I'm listening. Help me. We got to ask for help in our adversity and the help. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. Psalms 94, verses 20 to 23. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. We know there are vipers out there who are all they can do is do their best to hurt you, stalk you, treat you like you're dirt. But you know what? One thing they don't understand is we got a father that don't play. Our daddy God's got us covered by the blood of Jesus. And he has put a hedge of protection around us because understand things could always be so much worse had you not been a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, if you are not a believer, today is a good day to be saved. Today is a good day to confess your sins. Today is a good day to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he died on Calvary's cross, and that he rose again, and that he sits on the right hand of God the Father every moment, every hour, every second, interceding for me because he died for my sins. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 94, verse 22, but the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. The Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity and cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. Don't worry about folks trying to hurt you. God's going to take care of it. If you are here and you believe in him and that you know your father is never going to let anybody hurt you. That's what dads do. They protect their children. Hallelujah. Proverbs 22:28-29. Do not remove the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. Do not see a man who excels in his work. He will stand before kings. Do you see, a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God who causes his children to triumph in his name. Hallelujah. So this is a word we were talking, we started this on yesterday in the book of Romans where we talked about being grafted in. Being first fruits, but if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And that was Romans chapter 11, verse 16. And we're starting at verse 19 today, and it says, you will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God on those who fail. Severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will those who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile has come in. And so all Israel will be saved as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. And Jesus came, and he took away our sins on Calvary's cross. grave and took the keys of the kingdom from hell. We are blessed beyond measure because Jesus died and rose again for us. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Jesus. We need to tell God every day, thank you. And we need to tell Jesus every day, thank you. And we need to listen to the Holy Spirit who speaks to us through Jesus Christ, through Father God. We are blessed beyond measure because we have a connection to the tree. We have a connection to God. Verse 28 of Romans, concerning the gospel, they are enemies of your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers, for the gift. This is that word. This is the title of our lesson. I say this all the time. What God has for you is irrevocable. And this is what it says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. On the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. For of him and through him and to him all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. What a word. And we're going to go back to Romans for some life lessons from Dr. Stanley. And the first is from Romans 11, chapter verse 22. Consider the goodness and severity of God. Paul urges us to remember that God is loving and holy, gracious and just, patient and faithful to all of his word, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 11. We're going to go over real quick to 2 Corinthians. But it is so important to read the word of God. And we're going to go to chapter 5, which is, wow, all I can say is wow. The whole chapter is a mighty word of God. But we're going to go over to verse number 9 to get it all in context. And it says this, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well-known to God, and I also trust are well-known in your consciences. We are all have to stand before the judgment seat. We all have to stand before Jesus one day. We all have to stand before God one day. We all have to be accounted and accountable for what we have done in this life. But we all know that we are not perfect. But by the blood of Jesus, we can be made whole. You know, and as 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And, you know, I'm going to go back up to verse. I told you this whole chapter is awesome. But I want to read chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 7, because the whole thing also comes into the judgment of Christ. And it says this, well, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. But in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. But we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Understand, this thing we call a body is a shell. We are clothed in this shell. And some of our clothes are different colors. But underneath, we are all the same, clothed by God in this shell. And this shell is that, just a shell, looking at our inside. And the thing is your inside bright? Is your inside kind? Is your inside loving? Or is your inside hateful, vengeful, vindictive? God is looking at our inside. And I love this word one more time. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. That's why when we say in the word of God, it says, when we leave this earth, we are in the presence of the Lord. Absent from this body is in the presence of the Lord. And as we go further, this is where it says, but we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident. Yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. So don't weep for those that have gone on, because they have left this shell. They have left this outer clothing, and they have put on their new clothes. And they are in the presence of God. Hallelujah. One day we will stand before the Father. But understand, it's what's on the inside that he will see, not this outside shell. Let your inside clothes ready to be received by Father God. For he is waiting for each of us when our time comes. And only he, not even the Savior, knows our time. Romans 11:29, the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. And that's the title of our lesson this morning. And I say this all the time. Don't worry. What God has for you is for you, and it's irrevocable. Your gifts and your calling come from God, and can't nobody take what is not theirs. And this is what says, once you have placed your faith in him, God will never cast you away. He will never abandon you, reject you, or turn you away. As a loving father, he will discipline you, but he will never throw you away. What God has for us is for us. But we are his, and he is our dad, and he loves us like that, like a father loves a child. Our father loves us like a father, I should say, in some cases, is supposed to love a child. There are some that didn't get the father memo. But what we do is we pray for them. Because we know there's only one real, true father. And he is the one that resides not on this earth, but in heaven. Watching over his children. Watching over his sheep. Watching over his flock. Loving us forever. And his love is irrevocable. Think about how great that sounds, to know that there is someone who has irrevocable love for you. That is God. Romans 11:33, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We will never completely understand God's ways or grasp why he does what he does, but we can worship him for the goodness and love and mercy that he has already shown. And that is our word for today. And I pray that the Lord add a blessing to the reading and teaching of his word. But we're going to go back actually over into our word, because I did not finish something. And it says this, and I'm going back to verse 29. For the gift and the calling of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Oh, the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And I love this word. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. For of him and through him and to him all things, to whom be glory forever. And I say, and they say, amen. And I say to you this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other, in the precious and holy name of our Savior, Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed day. But before we get out of here, as always, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for Sister Carolyn is this: good morning. God will take what the enemy meant for bad and make it for your good. Have a triumphant Thursday. So I'm telling somebody out there, just remember, God will take what the enemy meant for bad and make it for your good. Keep trusting God today and have a triumphant Thursday. And know that you are blessed and highly favored as a child of the Most High God. And as we wrap it up, all I can say is, family, it is a wrap. For God is with us, God is for us, and nobody can stand against us, because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Trust your dad today and know that he has got your back. He's got you coming in and he's got you going out. And remember, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Can nobody take what God has for you. Be blessed, family, and have a wonderful day. It is a wrap.